in perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct, right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Walcott there.
A fighting is being entertained.
He gets inside, well inside.
In any weather you can see a sweeping wind. Listening head and skin, you're not where behind the chair.
Oh, Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name is Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And it's another end-of-season special, but I don't know. Are you feeling special, Andy?
Well, you know, this is sort of... It's always... When your team doesn't win the flag this time of year, it's often the most optimistic, as you know, Nick. It's sad because you get player retirements and... You know, we're all very sorry to see Cochin go for all the promise that he showed early in his career. But other things, you know, there's hope. There's new players coming onto the list. So it's a time of ups and downs, isn't it?
It is. Look, as you know, I always like the draft. You know, we've got a top 10 pick. It's fair to say the research has started already. How would you describe the best and fairest? Subdued?
Subdued. I thought Ross spoke very well, as, you know, Ross Lyon, our head coach, always does. He's a very eloquent speaker, and you can see the sort of...
He's eloquent sometimes, and he's clearly got stature. I mean, he's won finals with three different clubs, but... He's pretty defensive, and I think the whole club felt a fairly defensive and reactive place to be the last couple of months.
Well, I mean, Nick, you know, I ranted quite a lot about our excessively defensive game plan during the year, but, you know, I've had time to get over that, and I guess people are clinging on to the last few weeks of the year where we won a few games and we were just unlucky to miss out on the 8 by percentage, but...
I know. I think the ninth man thing really, trauma's the right word, but certainly some. I think Richmond, you know, it was great. We won a final last year. Sort of, it stopped the days since Richmond won a final Twitter account for one thing, but
It's still disappointing.
To finish ninth again was something.
But Dick, it's all relative. Like, I mean, you think about the end of 2016, where we had the board turnover and the focus on footy team got up, and then 2017, where, I mean, my God, was anything more depressing in 2016? That desperate search for assistant coaches for Dimmer, and no one wanted to come, and we had to promote Steve Morris to senior assistant coach because no one else wanted to do the job. And then Dimmer getting sacked halfway through the 2017 season because, well, not sacked. In fairness to Dimmer, he walked away. Always acted with great integrity, Dimmer, when the board wouldn't support him. And then we had Steve Morris coaching us for half a year. I mean, Nick... Those were dark times. At least Ross Lyon...
As you know, I still cling to the fact that some 5 years ago I said on this show that, you know, Steve Morris was exactly the kind of guy who'd make him a senior assistant coach, you know, the self-made halfback flank. I mean, I certainly didn't envisage it happening that quickly.
That was pretty
rough.
Or when in 2018, when Dusty kicked six goals against us in his first game for North Melbourne, that was pretty depressing as well.
Well, first game against us for North Melbourne, yeah, that was pretty hard work. Although, you know, sitting there at press conferences, looking sullen next to Brad Scott, like sometimes I feel like it's... Well, it's a divorce that's made everybody unhappy.
It was a lose-lose. Well, we'll see if the young kid we got turns out.
Oh, I like Darcy Fogarty a lot, actually. If he was Tasmanian, I'd have renamed one of my children after him. I think he's one of the better young key forward prospects
And North Melbourne aren't winning a flag anytime soon either. So, you know, good luck to Dusty. I hope he enjoys his millions, but I certainly don't miss his lack of defensive intensity.
No. And look, speaking of Dusty, like now we're in that zone, like we're just another club of, you know, we've lost a big free agent, you know, we're chasing big free agents, Jeremy Cameron first and foremost among them. Look, it's great for the fan boards, but
yeah, indeed. It's sort of interesting though, like we're positioned mid-table and it could go either way. You know, we clearly need some more attacking options. Maybe Ross could not play 17 men.
We do have the best defence in the AFL. That's not a bad starting point for a team.
Indeed. And Alex Rance, you know, inspirational captain, wonderful guy. And look, we just need to score more. It's a fundamental issue.
Yeah, I think that, I think creativity, Grimes has blossomed, and Rance is Rance, you know, Dave Asprey, hugely reliable, but yeah, the front half is an issue when you're, you know, our key forwards are a decade apart in age, sort of small forwards are pretty stodgy. I mean, the Michael Walters rumours won't go away, but you know, I don't know. It's a work in progress.
Look, it is. But Nick, I just get frustrated, Nick,
You often get frustrated, to be fair.
Ross is just as bad as Dimmer as he persists with mediocrity. And Nick, I'm just going to go on a little rant here. So you just
I'm not going to have you besmirch Reece Conker when he's just finished top 10 in the best and fairest for the first time.
All right, I'll move on from Reece Conker. I won't talk about him anymore, despite the advanced metrics saying he's deeply mediocre. But Nick, I want to talk about the players. We will never win a premiership while they're on the list. Like this, it's just embracing mediocrity. And like number one,
Brody Majerczyk's just won a flag.
You know, it's easy if you.
Andy Otten is a two-time premiership player, and as great as that those Crows teams were, you know, they still had their role players.
Yeah, but our role players are so mediocre. I mean, who on earth is going to win a premiership with Jacob Townsend in the team? And then, you know, he's got no skills, Nick. He can't get the ball. Sure, he takes the odd nice tackle, and you know I love his hardness, but we're not going to win a flag with him, playing regular midfield minutes. And George Castagna, look, I love him. I love him to death. He tries so hard. But, Nick...
Again, I say, really. Like, we have talked about him a lot.
He's a dud, Nick. And, I mean, he's just so useless. He's just, you know, the disposal, you just can't rely on him. And Camden McIntosh...
No, the kicking for goal, as you know, we are not an accurate kicking for goal team, and it just feels like we work so hard to get the ball forward, and then, yeah, I mean, Reece has reinvented himself as a defensive half forward, but yeah, he's not a great kick for goal. I mean, Fogarty looks like he is, so they'll have to work that out of him. But yeah, as a team, it just feels like hard work.
It does. You know, and we haven't yet properly replaced Hawley after he retired at the end of 2018. But Patrick Nash is promising, so he's the kind of player I want to focus on in the future. You know, guys who can kick well. I mean, admittedly, we gave up too early a pick for him, but, you know, what was it? There was a compensation pick about pick 22 or something like that, which we couldn't quite...
Yeah, it was early second round. Look, then, it was where he was rated, but, yeah, I mean, it's the... Clubs are sort of getting better at organising their father sons and their academies, so they don't quite cost so much. So yeah, that was a bit frustrating. Look, the I like Zach Butters. I think he's a good young player. Like I think the recruiting staff.
Yeah, I know, Nick, but why did we waste all that cap room on Hanbury? Like, you know, maybe he'll get fit next year, but like he's sucking up all that money, and we've also got Dion Prestia on the books.
Look, he's won finals, and that
it's true leadership.
I know, thank God that we won a final last year, but yeah, it's that question, you know, that, you know, Cochin stepping down as captain. He's won one final out of six games. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I see what you're pointing, that, like, it's just the Richmond loser mentality gets ingrained.
I know. Can I say that he didn't even make it halfway to as many losses as Joel Selwood, who's still the losingest finals captain of all time, so that makes me happy.
It does, but I just wish we'd beat Geelong one of these years, because, you know, it's the, what is it now, like 12 years in a row that we haven't been them. But Nick, you know, it is...
Yeah, it's a long time.
It does, it hurts, but, you know, I mean, it's small. It is some small consolation to watch Collingwood with their $1 million key forward Tom Lynch lose a grand final by a couple of points. That did actually cheer me up slightly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, although, God, Lynch. Yeah. Look, if we get Jeremy Cameron, I won't feel bad about Tom Lynch, about missing out on Tom Lynch, but, yeah.
Yeah, so...
It's not easy.
And look, we need to find a new CEO, because we've had an interim CEO now, Dan Richardson, for over a year since Benny quit to run for the City of Melbourne in the ALP in the federal election. I don't know. I wonder what Benny's up to after he lost in the election. I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, I know. Look, that it's been a messy couple of years. And unfortunately, we've talked before. I think it remains a... feather in the cap that we interviewed Simon Wallace before he got on the board at the second attempt. But yeah, I feel, and although he's got a lot more boring on social media since, but I feel like instability begets instability. Like, there's just that constant rumours of another board challenge that I think, like, people have seen the Essendon thing, you know, and Simon Wallace is a pretty conventional candidate, you know, corporate lawyer, you know, pictures himself as a man of the people, but really, how many other corporate lawyers do we have sitting around the table already? So, one popular candidate was fine, and I do agree with the need, like, having Bruce Monteith as the only current player on the board, you know, does seem to continue that fetishization of the 1980 Premiership team. But I think, you know, I know he's deleted his social media accounts twice already, but do you really think Justin Charles and Chris from Big Footy are the right people to be on the board? Because, you know, their campaign's got a lot of momentum.
It does. I mean, in fairness to Justin Charles, he speaks very frankly, and he certainly speaks
passionately.
Yeah, he speaks for the common. I don't want to be patronising, but the common fan. But yeah, it's certainly it'll be refreshing. I think they'll have to delete his social media accounts if he gets on the board.
Well, he's already deleted them once. Like, I understand there's some. Already been some pretty frank discussions with the club's risk and compliance people that, you know, there's certain things that board members can and can't comment on. But, yeah, he is who he is. So, yeah, it would be different.
Yeah, it certainly will. So, anyway, enough off-field stuff, Nick. I mean, are there any things that you particularly liked from the season this year?
Oh, look, I liked... Well, obviously, it's almost impossible to score against us you know, I love Darcy Fogarty, I love Zach Butters, Jack Higgins, you know, health issues notwithstanding, I think he's going to be a good player. Like, I think the recruiting team is still bringing in good players. It's just, you know, we've talked about it before, like, there's that hole in the list where Ben Lennon and Corey Ellis should be. Like, there's the good older players. There's a few in the middle, like Nick Floston, and some good younger players. But it still looks like a bit of a donut team. And, you know, that I think your question about who's going to be part of the next great Richmond team. I mean, if you can recruit a star, I think the whole thing becomes a lot easier, but it's pretty frustrating that it just feels like the little invisible string that the AFL attaches to every team has just been pulling on us, so we lose, you know, we lose Dusty, we get Darcy Fogarty, you know, it's a step back in performance, but it's a, you know, it's good for the long term, probably, that we've got that flexibility.
Well, Nick, you know, my thing is that we just get taken for granted because no matter what, Richmond fans still turn up. You know, we didn't make the eight this year, and we were top four in attendance based on one semi-decent year the year before.
We've got 80,000 members.
Yeah, like, right. And they just don't care about us because we turn up no matter what. So, you know, we're taken for granted and abused. But Nick, you know, I think the only way we're going to get out of this cycle of mediocrity is, I think we've got to blow it up. I think we've got to trade Rance while we still can. You know, maybe get a second rounder for him. You know, just go youth, and it's time. Stop hanging on to Connor Menadue. You know, I know he played 20 games this year off the wing, but he's just not going to get it done. It's time to let it go. You know, let's blow it up. Let's go youth. Maybe tank for a year or two. But look, I just don't think, you know, I know that there hasn't been the best track record for that, but I just don't think there's any other way we're going to break out of this funk of mediocrity.
No, but we've got completely the wrong coach for that.
Exactly.
I mean, I know he's going into the last year of his contract, but yeah, and we also know from, you know, the Carlton, Melbourne examples that, you know, going full tank looks pretty ugly. Like, if you strip out the backbone of the club, yeah. But as you say, you know, Alex Rance is 29 years old. How do you get value out of him when you can? Like, you know, Shane Edwards has been an average player for a really long time, and he's probably too old to get anything for. But man, Dylan Grimes, like, but again, when does it stop being a renovation and start being a demolition job? Like, it just, you know, if we get Jeremy Cameron, I keep coming back to him, but does the team look completely different at the end of next year?
Yeah, I know, it's a really tough question, but you know, Nick, I always take.
Can I say though that I'm worried about Geelong, but I'm reassured that competing for big free agents against Stephen Stilvani is still something I find reassuring.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's one thing. Admittedly, you know, the first Thursday of the season, you know, it's been more competitive the last couple of years. But playing our first game of the year against Carlton, it's always reassuring to know there'll be one team that's poorly run.
Mm.
And, you know, they did spend an absolute fortune to bring Sean Grigg back as a free agent, and that didn't work out for them, did it?
No. That was kind of amusing. I read something once about how American presidents, people tend to vote for the opposite of whatever they've had, and I think we've had that the last couple of years. Like, I think, as much as we liked Dimmer and respected him, that when you stripped everything back, the record wasn't good enough. Like, no, as you said often, you know, no one no one won as few finals as he did over such a long period of time.
As in zero, yes.
Yeah. One. Oh, no, true. Yeah. You know, we won one since, but not... Yeah, none in his tenure. How do you... Yeah, but Ross Lyon, he can be pretty combative. Like, do you have a hot shot assistant coach on your radar?
Well, you know, there's a few. I've always got a candle for Matthew Knight, so it would be good to bring him back. Maybe that's fetishizing the only successful era I've seen. But do you have anyone in mind?
I've often wondered about Chris Newman. Like, he's been at Hawthorn for a few years. He's got a good reputation, but he's not that senior a coach. Like, I don't know if the Richmond of it and the romance of it is getting to me, or do you just go into the pool of, you know, the Adam Kingsley's types, you know, the highly regarded assistants that you only know of because people say they're highly regarded assistants.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm sort of sick of ex-Fremantle players coming across and being our assistant coaches. Anyway. Look, Nick, it is... There's still the draft to come up. We could always, you know, fans of unsuccessful teams always have exciting young players. And so, our next show will focus on that. You know, we can just sort of begin to move on from, the pain of, another ninth finish in, 2019.
I can't say it's been easy. I'm a little, as you know, I do love a draft, and it pains me slightly that we're not in AFLW yet, because although their draft still seems mystifyingly complex, although I like the way that it has more than 100 players. Like, it's got a real wild west vibe to it, but still, the, you know, us and Hawthorn both top four in memberships. And we both don't have AFLW teams. Like, it just, it would help the off season pass, because once the draft's over and you're into pre-season, it's a long time.
Exactly. All right, Nick, we'll be back in a week or two with the draft preview.
Yep, looking forward to it. Been hitting the YouTube clips.
I'm Andy.
I'm Nick. We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
In perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct, right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Walcott there.
A fake kick is called into play. He gets inside, well inside. In anywhere that you can see a speaker grin. Listening can't stand. You're not behind the
channel. Just a little bit of genius. Tiger Land.